This is actually a project that's just beginning, it is a bunch of pieces have been ongoing. As you mentioned, the Department of Defense has been very interested in trying to improve the health of the brain injured veterans, and NIH similarly has been doing work for civilian and military brain injury for a long time. And the problem is that many of these projects are piecemeal, and we think that we can get a great more value if we can kind of bring all the pieces together, kind of translate them into a common language and all the results in a common database, that it can be used for much more than was originally planned.
So you would incorporate the different TBI cases in this database and compare and contrast?
That's correct. So I think for both the NIH and the Department of Defense, one of the missions of this database is to do what we call comparative effectiveness research. So to try and tease out from the different treatments that people get, which ones are those associated with the best outcome and maybe which ones may be associated with a poorer outcome. And that's a tricky business to do in an uncontrolled setting, like in a real-world setting. But one has to make up for the variabilities in data collection with larger numbers, and that's where you need to really bring in large number of data from large number of patients to make any sense out of that. And that's one of the main goals of this database, allow us to compare and contrast.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you as a doctor, as a physician, as someone who would treat people with brain injury, what questions do you find unanswerable now that you would like to have answered if the database could yield up that information?
Right. Well, I guess I think the shocking thing for people not in the medical field to hear is that a doctor taking care of, say, a serious or even a mild brain injury, but a serious brain injury patient is probably making on the order of 50 to 60 decisions a day on how to take care of that patient. And much of the decisions are based on, you know, one's training and what one's learned from one's teachers, but the actual evidence base, so the kind of gold standard rock that you can stand on to say this is better than that, there's very few of those items, and that's the problem in brain injury. And part of it's because it's so complicated and there's so many things going on at once that no one's actually ever been able to tease out in a rigorous fashion what is the best type of treatment. So there are a lot of things that people use, and there are thoughts about their benefit, and there may be some lower grade evidence, but there's not a lot of high grade evidence to help a doctor make all these decisions that are made every day. One example would, you know, a very common example is the idea of measuring intracranial pressure in someone who has a serious brain injury. We know that high intracranial pressure is associated with death in these patients, and so one would think that measuring it would be something that doctors could use that information to decrease death, but in actual fact, it's never been proven. And that's a kind of a gross example, but there are many, many situations that the doctors face on a daily basis and really need more evidence. And the database will be, I think, a source, not the sole source, but a source of that kind of data that can help people make decisions.
We're talking with Dr. Walter Korshetz. He is the Deputy Director of the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke at NIH. Would this database be specifically for NIH and DOD? Can anyone in the medical profession use it, contribute to it, get something out of it?
Well, that's kind of our goal, yes, is that the real push now in terms of research data, it's taxpayer money pays for this data to be collected, and so we feel that making a repository available that anyone can put data into. Now, it'll be, you know, we want to make sure that it's only good data going in, so there'll be some stringencies upon, you know, how the data is collected so that, you know, people can rely upon it. But we want to make this as open as we can. So for children, there's a major push now to learn more about how to treat children with brain injury. Much of what is done is based on adult experience. So we want to include children. We want to include civilians, military. The advantage of NIH and Department of Defense is that they can influence people to use it because they are the suppliers of the funds, so we have a little bit of leverage there. But we would like this to be open to all high quality data. And in fact, we're actually speaking with European groups now, who are on a similar path, and we'd very much like to, you know, do collaborations just to increase the number. Anything we can do to increase the numbers of good quality data sets would make this database more valuable.
And briefly, is it accurate to say that a brain injury is a brain injury regardless of the source? That is to say, one sustained in battle or in an IED explosion for a soldier, the brain injury occurs. If someone falls and hits their head, if that information also went into a database, it would still all be useful.
Yes, we think so. I mean, there will be differences likely between the different types of brain injury, but my guess is there'll be more commonality than there'll be differences. But yes, we believe that that's true, that what one learns from one area will be, you have to carefully as you translate into another type of brain injury, but there will be very common themes, such as the intracranial pressure issue. That's clearly something common to all many forms of brain injury.